Thanks for downloading the Wave Church podcast. We hope this message inspires and brings you into a deeper relationship with God. Enjoy the message.
Well, Wave Church, these are one of the most special days of the year in Wave Church. And for 21 years, every year, my highlights, my two favorite Sundays, and I mean this, is Veterans Day and Memorial Day. We take time to stop, to pause, to think and reflect about who are our military, men and women, husbands, wives, children, grandmothers, grandfathers. And today is Memorial Day, and I have got, and I'm so excited, a very special guest. His name is Jimmy Henske, and he was the Command Master Chief of an assault squadron, and he served with the Navy SEALs in the military, in the Navy, for 30 years, and we're just so honored to have you with us today, Jimmy. Thank you for being with us, and I want you to just give everybody just a little bit of an introduction to who you are to give context to our conversation.
Pastor Steve, I can't thank you guys and the Wave team enough for having me here. To put it mildly, I was blessed throughout my career. I had over 30-plus years. The scope of the responsibility that was endured upon me was unbelievable, and that's really the key thing that just brought me back to the church, because it was just nobody can be that lucky. And I was honored to serve in a multiple capacities, from hostage rescue to direct action to just medical situations where we went in to help areas under duress to looking for war criminals. And it just was an honor to have that career and be surrounded by such unbelievable professionals from so many different diverse communities.
Amazing. 30 years in the military. I mean, that's no small achievement. One of the things I think is amazing to me is some of the highlights that you've had. And we've had a chance to talk, not just today, but we've had a chance to talk about some of that. If you look back, what are some of the highlights for you? What are some of the moments over that time span that just stand out to you?
Wow. It's a great question. The opportunity to have so much responsibility and trust imparted upon me and my teammates. For example, in Iraq, we had basically a third of Iraq. The special forces were falling underneath us, and from Rangers to SEALs to what have you, and multiple other entities. Working as a team to accomplish things simultaneously with forces in Afghanistan, doing God's work and pressing the limits and doing things that just I don't think the public needs to know about, but that everybody would be very proud of. I reflect often with the trust, and you know, we were so fortunate. I'll be very careful how I speak on this, you know, because I was very fortunate. I never lost anybody under my command or when my leadership, and that wasn't because I was so good. I feel like I just had a divine hand in there, and then as well, we were to a degree just lucky, because we were getting after it, and we were looking, and we were pressing the limits. And if there's one blessing that I'm most thankful for, is that I didn't lose any of my guys while I was actively leading them.
I understand. If you were to think about your life, Jimmy, what are some of the greatest lessons you've learned? I mean, here we are sitting with a man who has seen a lot of, life and a lot of experience in the military life, and you've certainly been on the front lines. What are some of the lessons? What could we learn from you that you would love us to hear?
A couple things. You owe it to yourself to know who you are, and then go after that, whatever that aptitude you have, and press the limits and become what it is you were meant to become. Mediocre is not probably what you were meant to become.
I love it.
And in that tone, you're going to make mistakes every day, unfortunately. And some mistakes are larger than others, and you have to learn how to, although they hurt deeply, forgive yourself for those and get back up and do the right thing again the next day, and stand up for those who can't stand up for themselves. And that's a big mouthful of information, but you know, if you just take it as a daily, you know, you recognize the Lord's with us, and you know, you have a mission, He has something in mind for you. And if you work at it every day, you'll be surprised how fast you can get to something that most people would say is unachievable. So be kind to yourself when you make mistakes. Don't give up. But don't be arrogant as well. You know, be open to the folks coming in and telling you, hey, maybe we should look at it from a different optic. And when you feel you need to stand your ground. And don't be shy about it. Not everybody's going to agree with you. You know, I think, you know, I appreciate many of the sermons that you have, because you talk about those members in history that stood up and did the right thing in the face of challenges that maybe not everybody understood or agreed with, but they knew this was the right path. This is where we need to go. So be true to yourself and kind to yourself in those tones.
I love what you're saying, because in actual fact, not everybody has to have the career you've had.
Yes.
To be successful. What you're
Absolutely.
Talking about is being true to yourself, is being just be, in a sense, I don't want to say elite in
being a great mom.
Just being the best
dad.
Yeah, being a great husband, being a great wife, being a great father in business. And if you're, I always love to use the example, if you're flipping burgers at McDonald's, be the best burger flipper.
Literally.
Just be true to yourself.
Literally.
And give yourself permission to be human. And that can apply to anybody.
Yes, sir.
In any sphere of life. It's sport, anything. So I love that. That's a great lesson. I would love to unpack every one of those statements you made. Just profound. So talk to us a little about, just for a moment, obviously you and I have someone in common, a friend. Mm. His name's Lou. He's part of the teams. And where were you when you heard about Extortion 17? And maybe give some context to what is Extortion 17 for those who maybe who don't know it?
Extortion 17 was a two-troop of an assault squadron. That was my squadron. Prior to, you know, I was leader there, and we transitioned. It was under different leadership when the tragedy happened, 2011, August 6th. But they were on a mission to mitigate some Taliban in southern Afghanistan. I'm pretty sure they were the QRF, Quick Reaction Force, sorry. And then so the ground game started happening. There was an engagement happening. Two troop was called to come in, and unfortunately they were struck with a rocket-propelled grenade on insertion, killing all the members on board the aircraft. Single greatest tragedy in naval special warfare history. So I knew almost every man on there, just the gut-wrenching, it's heartbreaking. So when I found out about it, you know, I got a call in the middle of the night. We're pretty reactive. We don't wait around. So as soon as it happened, I'm feeling within, when I was notified, probably less than an hour, I would guess, had gone by when it happened. So it was the middle of the night, and what was, I love America. God, I love it. Within an hour, we gathered this massive team stateside to do what had to be done. Notification of 30-some families and all the other plans and preparations and everything that had to be done. It's just catastrophic, is beyond catastrophic. It's the only way to place it. And just, you know, people just teary-eyed crying, and but put your big boy pants on while you're crying, and let's get this done. So we quickly formulated a plan surgically, and then by 6 o'clock that morning, I don't remember exactly what time that was when the primary meetings happened. It was around 3 in the morning, but by 6 in the morning, we're all in our blues, unfortunately knocking on the doors of our most precious family members and giving them the worst news that you could possibly do. It's easily, in my 30 years, hands down, easy, not even anything's even close to it, the hardest thing I ever did, easily.
Yeah. I think about every one of those families, the lives that were lost, taken, and sacrificed. And I guess Memorial Day, that's a big, big moment in moments like these, because it's not just, I know for me, just one of the gentlemen, and there were 21.
Yeah.
But I know one of them, he was part of WAVE at that time, and he and his wife, I'll never forget, he asked me would I baptize him in the Chesapeake Bay, of all places, in January. And and I said, can we not use a swimming pool that's heated? Can we not use the church baptismal tank? And he goes, no, Pastor, you don't understand. I want to do it in the cold water because I want it through buds. I hate it cold water. And I wanted to do this to make a statement. And I said, yeah, but what about me? I'm the one that's going to...
He probably enjoyed that. You didn't like it.
He loved, and then his wife said, I want to get baptized. And I went, no. So then she has to go back. I couldn't feel my legs.
Oh,
poor
so
me.
Awesome.
Listen to me cry.
Oh, that's great.
It was one of the greatest honors of my life to do that and to have that connection with him and knowing he's with Jesus today.
Yeah.
And yet, I want to ask you a question that is really important to me. How did your military career affect your family?
Oh,
which, this is real.
Yeah. So, we talked a little bit earlier about this. After serving as a command master chief of the assault squadron, deploying just nonstop for a considerable period of time, and the family going with me, and sometimes without me, to services for fallen brothers, we were losing, and we continue to lose a lot of people. That the toll, the boys are race cars. They're meant to do this. That this is their calling in life. That's what they're supposed to do. So, yes, we're deployed. Yes, we're in harm's way. That's where we're supposed to be. We're okay. We got our brothers with us. We are smart. We are tactical. We're surgical. We're in our element. We have the better hand. The family doesn't get that luxury. And so the family, my family notified me that... I was getting out of the Navy, and I wasn't really excited about that. Knowing that the family has the majority vote, I thought I was getting out of the Navy for 6 months. Then I sat down with some leadership on my side, and I talked with some options where I'd kind of transition from the jobs that I had currently and into something else in order to continue to be able to serve. So I sat down with the command worked with me. They said, okay, Jimmy, I think we can do this. So I sat down with my wife and my boy, who was 10 at the time. And I was like, hey, I got this new job. I know I'm supposed to be getting out of Navy, but what do you think about me doing this? And I was like, you can ask me any questions over the next 7 days, but I want you to take 7 days to think about it, and then we'll decide if Dad stays in the Navy or not. And I was terrified. I had no idea how it was going to turn out. I was literally schoolgirl scared. And I sat down a week later. And
you were schoolgirl scared.
100%.
Okay.
I was terrified. So I was like, okay, what am I doing? And I'm like, okay, I think we're going to go for this. And, they knew what they were signing up for. So when I think of, I know we'll get into deeper. When I think of Memorial Day, the families are equal, if not even more important, because the boys are doing what they were called to do. That's what they were supposed to do. They spent their life becoming that and becoming very good at that. The family doesn't get that choice so much, and my family got a choice, and they decided to do it again. And even though knowing the potentials, the risks for them. Kids need a father, husband, wives need a husband. When I think of the families, that story, I think, isn't unique. Everybody who's serving on the front lines and doing what they do, those are hard discussions that happen with the families. And it was what the boys were actually meant to be doing.
Powerful. So having said all that, I want to ask you a question, because I think this is really significant, given who you are, given what you've done, your service, your tenure for 30 years in our military. Help everyone out here in WAVE Church and everybody watching around the world, to you, and helping us understand, what does Memorial Day mean to you?
Nice. The scope of the responsibility of answering that question is not lost upon me. For that reason, Pastor Steve, I brought in some artifacts. Inside our shop, we have well over 200 historic artifacts, and I just grabbed a few of them that I thought would set the tone of what Memorial Day means. So when you look at the disc up front, that was a piece of lumber that was harvested from where the Battle of Belleau Wood took place, World War I, where the Marines earned their nickname, the Devil Dogs. Just the tenacity and heroic fighting spirit that was brought upon that battlefield just for the end of time, that'll resonate. After that, you look up here, you got a piece of a jar of sand, a mason jar, and that's from adjacent to the hull of the USS Arizona, obviously from December 7th, Day of Infamy. But, you know, so many lives lost on there, and then the, what's almost more powerful with that, all those battles that followed where we all decided to do something about this and protect those who can't protect themselves, and all those battles from Tinian to Anzio to what have you that happened because of that. Just set you back on your heels. When you see the flag that's off to the left, you have a captured Vietnam flag that was given to me by a dear friend, and the loss of life is well known from the battlefields in Vietnam. And we also have a captured Cambodian flag, which I find pretty interesting as well. But this oak that's sitting right here is one of our prized possessions. This is a piece of the USS Constitution. She was directed to be built and commissioned by George Washington, the George Washington. So she's the oldest commissioned warship in the United States Navy, and numerous lives were lost upon her during her service, and she continues to serve proudly today. And it just sets a tone of like sustained superior performance of all those who continue to serve. I just love that, and that she's a piece that nobody will ever forget. In the center, we have a small piece in here. I don't know if the camera can see that very well, but that's a piece of Extortion 17. And obviously, we lost her August 6th of 2011 with a lot of great, great men. And then last but not least, there's a bag of sand sitting up here, and that's that was given to me by a Gold Star family. Gold Star family being a family who's lost their loved one in combat. There's a peak in Alaska that was renamed Gold Star Peak, and many of the families will go make the trek up there and make the hike up to the top of the mountain and leave a piece of memorabilia in honor of their loved one. Well, the team went up there and brought me back some of that sand from up there, and I think of all these pieces that we have up here, although each one's very, very powerful for me. The Gold Star Peak sand is probably the most cherished piece, just because I know what the families are doing and continue to do, and none of us would be successful in any way, shape, or form without their heroic service. Put it mildly.
So Jimmy, I'm this is amazing. I mean, just to sit here and think we got a piece of the USS Constitution sitting in front of me, from George Washington, who, by the way, is my all-time hero in world history. Yeah. He's my favorite. I've read more about him than anybody. Why are people giving this stuff to you?
It's a great question. You know, people ask it often. Again, we have over 200 artifacts inside the shop, equally impressive. The biggest thing is we don't sell them.
Right.
Period. I'm like, I kind of look at, I may be in possession of the pieces. They're not mine. I just make sure they go to the right places. So we use the artifacts for families that have fallen. We make a lot of pieces for them. We'll also use them for retirement pieces. So, and we're fairly flexible on the retirement, just as long as you're retiring, you know, their first responder, what have you, military primarily. And then we'll go into their career and maybe their family history and put pieces from different things. And now it's transitions from becoming a shadow box to becoming the artifact or family heirloom that's much more powerful. Mm-hmm. And then the last thing that we'll use those for is significant fundraisers. And again, we've raised well over $130,000 last year for different foundations. My job, and I think if I have a blessing from the Lord, it was the ability to weave those stories together appropriately so that we maximize, you know, the materials and the stories that are here so that we, A, continue the legacy, keep that alive, and then as well, maybe enrich some of those folks that are still running around today, if that makes sense.
To me, Jimmy, as I hear you telling that story, just that moment there, it reminds me of God, you know, in the throughout history saying, have milestones, have memorial stones, and benchmarks where you can have something that is like the 12 rocks coming out of the Jordan. And when the children ask, what are these 12 rocks in the middle of the centerpiece of the whole town? We can remind them of what happened, how God took us through the Red Sea.
It's important.
And that's what you're talking about. You are literally creating an ongoing legacy to see to it that these stories don't die.
Yes, sir.
That these memories are made. And that's Memorial Day. Jimmy, I would I'm hearing you talk and I'm hearing you give us this amazing history of some of the wars, combats that our military have served in. And I hope today it might make us, some of us actually not just think about Memorial Day as a day off, but something to really take time. These are people who paid the ultimate sacrifice. And not just, I love what you're saying, it's not just the man or the woman, but it's the family. Mm-hmm. And you're talking and highlighting the gold star moment there. And just for us, it's my real prayer, and I know it's your desire, that when we think about Memorial Day, we understand the depth, the magnitude, the significance, the sacrifice, the cost. And we would really take the time to really think about on Memorial Day. And, you know, always, whenever you hear of someone who's served in our military, always thank them for their service. It wouldn't matter if it was for a year or for someone like you who's been 30 years, anybody
sure.
who was willing to do that ought to be appreciated. And yet, I just wanted to hear, just maybe for you now, just talk a little bit about what you do now, Valhalla Forge. I know we got to know you through some of those endeavors, and as a result of that, we have become brothers.
Yeah.
So talk to us a little bit about that.
So Valhalla Forge was a natural transition for me. It's a way that I can stay in touch with the community. We split our space with the Gold Star family, literally. I employ Gold Star kids from time to time, mostly in summertime. We craft pieces for the families that have fallen. We also work with over 20 foundations. Last year we raised probably $130,000 a year prior to that, same amount for different foundations, helping families that have fallen to what have you. And so Valhalla Forge, really, I'm probably the worst businessman out there because I don't care about money, and I really care about our impact on the community. We bring in wounded warriors into the shop, and we've had a number of them. You guys actually assisted with us with bringing guys in, and we train them and build them up for their next chapter in life. And the last gentleman that went through, we bought most of the equipment for his shop, and we're a reach back capability for them. So when they have questions, concerns, issues, you know, we're somebody they can fall back on for, I have many tentacles and I have expert advice. I don't always have it from me. I can find the answer. So Valhalla Forge is a part of the Hampton Roads community. And, you know, hopefully we are able to continue helping those who need it out there. It's very similar to Wave Church.
And it's an honor to have partnered with you. And as a result of that, get to know you and to continue to actually have ongoing friendship, relationship, and connection. Let me just ask you maybe just two final questions. What's something you wish people would understand about our military personnel?
I don't see, they just made a decision. I think the people who, I can't speak for everybody. I know I had a fighter pilot in my shop today, and sometimes we lose focus. What guys really are doing is protecting those who can't protect themselves. And it's just a noble thing. And you don't like get to do it every day. And the guy was a little bit not as happy about the deployment he had because he wasn't able to do as much as he wanted to do. And I was like, listen, man, you get a multi-million dollar weapon system, and you've been entrusted to, you know, when you have it, you have it. You go out there and you do the best you can, you know, the United States requirements that they need us done, and hopefully we're following God's will and how we execute our missions. I think the teams are out, the boys are out there trying to follow that path, and it's a hard one, and it takes commitment. And I think I know it's a little babbling here, but it's such a complicated and tough question. Yeah. The internal fortitude required to serve the United States military in a proper manner is something that, like any good man, you have to work at every day to meet that.
So, you, in a sense, I hear you say to just in, you know, to honor and appreciate those who live up to their position, encouraging people to understand these men and women are doing the very best to live up to their position and their opportunities.
You're attempting to reach a higher calling. Yeah. In my thought, when you're on a hostage rescue mission and you are trying to execute that and do it right and making split-second decisions on, well, how things happen and lives are going to be impacted eternally for your decisions, those are the weight of doing your job in
a
very
professional
manner.
And that's something most people wouldn't understand.
Yeah, it's very difficult. And I just think... I'm babbling. I'm sorry. It's difficult on the video, but although that's probably the most many people think of war as the greatest. I'm not saying it's a sport, but it's like a sport. It's like almost like a game. It's the most, you know, the stakes are
high.
Dire.
Yeah.
So going out there and executing it in a way that is honorable and professional and surgical in a way that we minimize risk to force impact to those in or around, and if we can mitigate it in such a way where there's no loss of life, that's the magic.
That's
bullet.
The goal. That's the end of mind.
I hope that made sense.
No, it did.
It's a very tough, complex question.
Now, you understand my novice perspective, one of the things that Sharon and I have really appreciated is the price the families pay and just the sacrifice of, you know, men and women being away and then what that means living life. And I from my own outsider in perspective, and I hear you say that, let's make sure we really take the time to think about not just the man or the woman serving, but it's the whole family that serves. I want to close out with one final question. And how can we pray as a church for our military and for their families? How can we pray for them?
The best way to pray for them and honor them is to do your personal best. I didn't fight for me. I fought for you.
Wow.
So go out
and be just all do, you can be.
Go out and be kind to somebody today. Go out and get a little better at something today, you know, and in that, and if we were able to affect that where you do that and you become that much better at whatever it is, as long as it's a positive thing, for me, that would be the greatest way you could honor me, if you were able to be that much better at whatever it is that you do.
What an answer. Jimmy, thank you so much for your time today. I appreciate it. And it's my prayer for everybody watching today around the world that you were blessed, you felt there was some greater connection to our military in all of our branches. We love them all, and it's an honor to have you with us today. And we are praying for our military. We honor them. And I just know 21 years ago, God spoke to me and said, Steve, honor the military. It's my greatest prayer to have a moment to just say thank you for all the men, all the women, and all the families who have served, and a Memorial Day. It's the time to stop and think about those who paid the ultimate sacrifice. Let's give honor to their memories. And I want to close out with what Jimmy said. The best way you can honor them is to be the best you can be and do everything you can do to be all that you could, because they didn't fight for you to feel good. They fought for the freedom of every man and every woman so they can have the opportunity to live out their best life. So we love you, Jimmy. Thank you so much.
Love you too.
And, you know, we're praying for all our military families who are away serving right now. We honor you and we appreciate you. God bless you.
Thanks for listening to the Wave Church Podcast. If you made a decision today to follow Jesus, please go to wavechurch.com and click on I Made a Decision so we can help you on your way to know God in a deeper way. And if you want to visit one of our locations, the website can help you locate the campus near you, or you can live stream our services. Have a great day.